to devour, to change, to become. Written by Marenki and recorded by Tipsy Kitty. Fandom, The Locked Tomb. Summary: to take the choice away was to make a choice. The Lord saith, the lot of you need to ascend, as not to burden him, and so Mercy Morn, tethered to a god by faith and love, researched. When research said, kill your darlings, though, Mercy Morn and the others hesitated. And thus saith the Lord, I understand your concerns, Mercy, but it must be done. But there had to be another way. Otherwise, how would his cavalier, that monster wearing human flesh like a cape, exist by his side? Mercy Morn stares at that thing like it might offer answers, but all it does is look, mournfully, at the ruined land and sea that surrounds them. With no help forthcoming from A.L., Mercy Morn was left with more questions than she ever had answers. Christabel, sweet, overexcited Christabel, was excited for death. She wanted, so badly, to be useful, to be good, to put her heart in Mercy Morn's stomach and become a part of her, to allow Mercy Morn the distance that ascension would allow them, to be away from John without death threatening to swallow them. But Mercy Morn couldn't let that happen. She couldn't bring herself to grab a knife and slit Christabel's throat, like the only thing she was good for was death. Her Christabel had to live forever with her, lives entwined until the heat death of the universe. Maybe that's why Christabel put matters into her own hands. Maybe she knew, better than all, of Mercy Morn's faults, of Mercy Morn's hesitations. To take the choice away was to make a choice. When Christabel smiles, victorious, on Alfred's rapier, Mercy Morn screams, removing her from the medal like all the medical training John gave means nothing. What was it about removing foreign objects from a wound again? Doesn't matter. There's screams somewhere that cease when Christabel's cold hand falls over Mercy Morn's, who's desperately trying to reverse the flow of blood back into her body. Mercy Morn looks at Christabel, who smiles, too victorious. A sweep of Christabel's body, a look at the innards, tells her that Christabel is dying, irreversible unless she eats Christabel and unlocks further powers. But to consume Christabel is to kill Christabel, and what is the use of power if it cannot bring Christabel's soul from the river, because it is busy being the furnace of Mercy Morn's life? She hesitates. Christabel opens her mouth, chokes on blood, her lungs bereft of oxygen, the delicate tissue swallowed by hemoglobin, ruptured lungs, her brain supplies, and Mercy Morn lowers her mouth, strengthening her teeth as a second thought, more animal than human, as she tears into Christabel's throat. The meat is so sweet, delicious, even raw. She vaguely remembers seeing Christabel in the past few weeks, indulge in sweets, remembers telling her off for it, and worst of all, remembers the grin Christabel gave her whenever she did so. How long had she planned this and kept the secret of it? It doesn't matter. Christabel has forced her hand. Mercy Morn must consume, lest her sacrifice be in vain. The Lord saith, you did so well, Mercy. There's a hand, clean, on her shoulder, as Mercy holds Christabel's head on her lap. She does not look at him, does not say anything. No, Mercy Morn, in sepulchral silence, looks behind him to the doorway, where the monster he has on a leash looks at the gore, her molten gold eyes full of sadness Mercy Morn wishes to rip out of her. How dare this creature feel? How dare this thing, this animal made human that gets to live while Christabel lays dead, grieve? She did not love Christabel like Mercy Morn did. She has no place in this room, in this scene, in this planet. Mercy Morn looks away, and John's pet leaves. Two bodies, stripped of their most important flesh, are so small. Bones in neat piles, sinew stripped by hand and magic beyond the understanding of anyone but John. Mercy Morn pets Christabel's blood-soaked hair, hard already, and looks back at the empty remains, before reaching for a final bite, chewing mechanically. So sweet, her Christabel, so careful, so thoughtful, to make herself the best meal Mercy Morn would ever have. Nothing else, no one else, will ever compare to how good Christabel felt on her tongue. The eyes are the window to the soul, or so says a book of sayings rescued, half waterlogged, from the shores, on those so distant first few days. Thus, it makes sense now that Mercy Morn's eyes are gone, and Christabel stares at her from the confines of the mirror. She reaches a hand, but she doesn't find Christabel against her fingertips, only the cold glass of the mirror. Gently as grief can be, she removes the mirror from the wall, carries it to the open window, and tosses it into the ocean. It gets swallowed in a blink of eyes, and Mercy Morn closes the window. Grief, Mercy Morn decided, very early on, was not performance. She kept her life going because if she stopped, Mercy Morn would fold into herself and become a black hole of grief. She can't, because the work must continue. She can't, because as the oldest sister to them all, as the senior to this power she wielded, Mercy Morn must be the example to be followed, the one who made a path for the others to follow. Stoicism, she found, suited her just fine. But sometimes, late at night, she'd find herself standing in the middle of the hallway, mumbling about equations and terraforming, and look back only to find the darkness by her side. It was easy to forget Christabel's presence came from the inside, rather than half a step back. Too easy, and thus, these moments only made the ache worse, a dull throb inside her chest. Rather pathetic. Mercy Morn would bite the flesh of her arm, and spit out the blood when it came, for it tasted nothing like Christabel. Then, like nothing happened, she'd move on, still mumbling to a ghost behind her eyes. The Lord saith, I'm glad you're doing okay, Mercy. And she smiles and says nothing at all. Is she? The Lord then saith, huffing about it, it's good to see you taking your brothers and sisters' ascensions in stride, unlike some. He means Augustine, who is swallowed by Alfred's death, unable to participate in the rituals of watching. Mercy Morn says nothing to that, as John's hand, clean, heavy, settles on her shoulder. Paternalistic, if Mercy Morn knew what it was to have a father. She purses her lips and stares at the monster in the room, smiling. Thus Mercy Morn saith, I only strive to please thee, my lord.